This morning, thank you for this lovely day that you've made. Thank you that it's a day to walk with you, to know you, to be loved by you, to hear your voice. And we're asking today, Jesus, would you come and would you speak to us and would you change us and would you come in a very real and tangible and powerful way amongst us? Amen. If you enjoy reading books, if you're a bit of a bookworm, if you enjoy novels and books, most good books save the good bits of the book to the end, to the last few pages. In fact, it's often the last chapter, even the last page, that all the threads of the novel are pulled together. Finally, all is revealed. Characters that were introduced earlier in the book and plot that was carefully woven in the earlier chapters are brought together into a whole at the end. At the end of the book, the plot becomes clear and the whole story falls into place. We're going to look today at the last book of the Bible, the closing scenes of the whole of God's written revelation to us. As such, I believe God placed the last book in the Bible in its position as the final words of God's 66 books of revelation to us. And because of that, it makes sense of the themes that have been woven through the 65 preceding books of the Bible. The book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, is the punchline of the whole Bible. It makes sense of all that's gone before. It brings it together into a climax. It's the very thing that shows us the main purposes of God. Indeed, the word revelation in the original language it was written in, the word revelation means to draw back the curtain. It means to show something that wasn't seen. So the final book of the Bible is titled An Unveiling, A Disclosing of What Was Hidden, or A Drawing Back of the Curtain. Imagine that there's a curtain today. Imagine that these curtains across a yellow curtain, lovely bright yellow curtains, aren't they? You can see through them, so my analogy is not so good. But imagine you couldn't see the curtains today that were drawn across there. And the revelation simply means, the word revelation, simply means to get hold of the curtain and to draw it back so you can really see things as they are. Otherwise, when the curtain's there covering it, you can't see. But once it's drawn back, you can see the reality. You can see the truth. That's the title of the last book of the Bible. Now, at home, we have blackout lining in our curtains in the bedroom. Barbara put the blackout lining in our bedroom curtains because she used to do night shifts. And if you do night shifts, apparently, I've never done night shift, but if you're doing night shift, it's tough sleeping during the day with the light come flooding in. So she put the blackout lining on the curtains. So whether it's day or night, our room is pitch black because the blackout stops any light coming through. And so you don't know in the morning when you wake up, you don't know what the weather's like. Because you can't see the sun. Normally, if you've got normal curtains, you can tell a little bit. You've got a few clues as to whether it's sunny or whether it's miserable, whatever the kind of weather is. But you can't tell in our bedroom because this wonderful blackout lining just absorbs all the light and you can see nothing. So you open the curtains and it's a complete surprise. As you open the curtains, wow, it's either wow, fantastic, it's sunny, or oh, it's not, you know, it's a miserable, rainy day. As you open the curtains, you get a revelation. As you open the curtains, you get a revelation. That's the meaning of this word, the title for this book. Sometimes I've drawn back the curtains in our room, bedroom, and been surprised at the brilliance of the sunshine. The sun was shining all along. I just never knew it because I didn't have the revelation. I didn't have the curtains drawn. And this book of Revelation is the drawing back of the spiritual curtains to see things as they are. Not, of course, to see the sun, but to see the brilliance of Jesus shining in his majesty and his glory. The book of Revelation reveals Jesus as the shining one, the glorious one that he now is. He's the one who John, the Apostle John, sees right at the beginning of Revelation. If we look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13... Johnny, there's a file on there for today's talk with all the scriptures on. Revelation 1, chapter 1 and verse 13, it says that Jesus is someone who was dressed in a robe And the robe reached down to his feet, and there was a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet was like bronze glowing in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth comes a double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, John said, I fell at his feet as though dead. So John describes Jesus in his revelation. John sees Jesus, and he sees someone whose eyes are blazing fire. He sees someone whose feet are like bronze glowing in a furnace. He sees someone whose face is like the sun shining in all its brilliance. We don't see that so often in this country, but if you head to warmer climes, on the noonday sun when the sun is powering overhead and it's burning down, the sun burns in all its brilliance. John saw Jesus' face like that. Jesus' face was shining, was brilliant. That was the revelation he saw. No wonder that the Apostle John, he knew Jesus so well. He'd been with Jesus for 3.5 years. But all he could do in seeing Jesus in his glory was simply to fall at his feet. In this gospel, in the gospel written by John just a few years earlier, John describes Jesus in his humility and his humanity as he walked on this earth. Now, a few years later, as John wrote this revelation, he describes Jesus in his splendor, his power as he rules in heaven today. The revelation written by the Apostle John was the last book to be written for the New Testament. It's considered the last one of all the New Testament books, and it logically brings the Bible to its completion. The Word of God is completed, perfectly concluded by this final book of Scripture. To emphasize that it's the full stop in what God says, if we look at Revelation chapter 22 and verse 18 there, John says this about his revelation. So I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. A serious warning about adding anything to the book of Revelation. And he continues, if anyone takes away from the book of this prophecy, God will take away from him the share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. See, its place as the final book of the Bible warns not just against adding to the book of Revelation, but adding to the Bible. When I first became a Christian, I was at home one day. I was back from college. I was at my parents' house. I was on my own. I got a knock at the door. And look, there was two guys stood there, and they said, we're Christians. And I was a brand new Christian. Oh, fantastic. I'm a Christian too. Come on in. So these guys came in, and we started talking to me. And as we started talking, I suddenly started to feel a bit uneasy. So something not quite right. And as they started to talk, they said, well, what happened is that the Bible knock is not complete. I thought, that's a bit funny. And that actually what happened was a guy called Joseph Smith, an angel came with some golden tablets and gave him a book that adds to the Bible called the Book of Mormon. That sounds a bit strange. What they're saying is that the Bible is not a full stop, but there's more to add, and that's what they were trying to give me, this book called the Book of Mormon. Because they obviously hadn't read this book at the end of Revelation, because when these last few verses of Revelation, it's the full stop, it's the finish, there's no more as far as God's revelation. All he wanted to say, all of them are contained in the 66 books of the Bible. It's the full stop. And this morning we're looking together at this book of Revelation, this last book of the Bible. It was written by the Apostle John. Of course, Apostle John was someone very close to Jesus, someone, the disciple who Jesus loved, disciple who at the Last Supper, John was right there, right beside Jesus. For 3.5 years, John walked with Jesus. And when John wrote this book, in the final years of his life, John was a prisoner for his faith. He was put on the Isle of Patmos, which is a small rocky island in the Aegean Sea, about 15 miles west of Ephesus. Patmos, it's a Greek island. You can go and visit. It's off modern-day Turkey today. So you can go and visit it if you like for a holiday. You might have been on holiday, in fact, but 2,000 years ago, it wasn't a holiday destination. 2,000 years ago, it was a prison island, and he was put there for his faith. And on this island of Patmos, God gave John this revelation. God gave John this last book of the Bible as he was there in exile for his faith in Jesus. And it forms a conclusion of all that's gone before. This book of Revelation, is the last book. And in it, all the books of the Bible meet. The Old Testament, the New Testament come together as God's purposes are made clear. What God told Daniel in the Old Testament, Daniel's very similar in many ways in the Old Testament to Revelation and New Testament. And what God told Daniel to seal up in Daniel 12 verse 4, he said, Daniel, close up, seal up the words of the scroll until the time of the end. See, what God told Daniel to seal up, God told John to proclaim and to reveal and to make clear and to make plain. So what was sealed up in the Old Testament is revealed in this last book in the New Testament. In Revelation 1 verse 1, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place and to make it known. See, the point was God wanted to make it known. The idea of revelation is to open the curtain and to make things known. I've got to admit that it's not an easy book, Revelation. Christians have different opinions about the interpretation of the signs, the symbols in the book of Revelation, because the Bible contains lots of different styles. We've got historical writing, we've got poetry, songs, narrative, letters, and this apocalyptic style that Daniel wrote in and that John wrote in the book of Revelation. And in understanding apocalyptic writing, Christians have come to different conclusions about the book of Revelation. Some think it's historic. In other words, in the first few decades after Jesus died and rose again, that it was fulfilled, that the prophecies in the book were fulfilled in those first decades. Some Christians believe that. Other Christians believe that the book of Revelation is a symbolic book. It's not literal. It just symbolizes the struggle between good and evil that there is in the world. And then others believe that, and I believe that the book of Revelation is a prophetic book. It's a prophecy of the end times as Jesus returned, given in signs, symbols, and pictures. In fact, in Revelation 5 times, it claims to be a prophecy. Revelation 1 verse 3, it says, blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. Now, don't worry if you've got a different approach to Revelation to me, because I'm going to focus on the main message of the book. I'm not going to look at the details so much. When I was at college, my tutor said something that at the time I thought was a bit crazy. He said this. He said, the main thing is to make sure the main thing is the main thing. I thought, well, that sounds a load of rubbish. But as I thought about it, actually, what he was saying was that the important thing is actually to concentrate on the majors and not the minors. I think that's particularly true in looking at something as complex as the book of Revelation, that we're going to need to focus on the main things, not to get bogged down in the detail. And I must admit, there are many pitfalls in reading the book of Revelation. The first pitfall is to get mixed up in our mind cinematic fantasy and scriptural truth. There's so many movies, apocalyptic movies, have been in the cinema, and you may have seen on TV, that actually our impression of what Revelation has said can actually be coloured by Steven Spielberg and others, and things that they've, the other things that they've made. It may even get mixed up with some Greek mythology if you've seen Clash of the Titans recently. Also, if you've read Christian fictional novels, some great Christian writers who take the Revelation as the basis and then write fiction around that kind of thing. Again, in our minds, we can mix up what is fiction and what the Bible says. So we want to kind of be clear what the Bible actually says as opposed to what it's thought to say. The second pitfall is it's easy to get lost in the trees. You've heard the expression, you can't see the wood for the trees. There are many mysterious signs, pictures, and it can be perplexing to try and work out the detail of the prophecies. I'm not saying we shouldn't have a go, but if we don't keep clear the main things of the book before us at all times, we can easily become disorientated and frustrated in reading this book. Now, lastly, many people have spent much time and energy studying the book of Revelation, trying to identify specific world rulers, specific historic empires, even current political figures, and associate them with symbols and signs. The thing about Revelation is that God's written it in such a way, I believe, that actually it's been relevant to the past stages of history. And it's possible to identify people and nations describing some of the profiles of the signs and symbols in Revelation. Because God's intended the book of Revelation to be relevant to all ages. And yet, there's one final fulfillment that we have yet to see. The main fulfillment of a lot of the character symbols and signs we've yet to see come to pass. So if there are so many pitfalls in the book, studying the book of Revelation, why am I talking about it this morning? Why not talk about something else? Well, I believe that there are some important reasons why it'd be good for us to look at the book of Revelation. And the first reason is it's a revelation from God. In Revelation 1 verse 1, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave. Revelation verse 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave. It's something which God wanted to give us. So in the last book of the Bible, it's very significant. The last thing people said is significant. Something significant. These are the memorable things. These are the important things. And it's something which God has said. And because I believe it, because it's what God has said, it's something that is worthwhile listening. And because it's a revelation, it's God is claiming, what he's saying in Scripture, is he's opening the curtain to allow us to see something that otherwise we would be ignorant of. If God hadn't opened the curtain, we wouldn't be able to see it. If God hadn't opened the curtain, it would be closed and locked up, and all we could see is just the curtain. But the claim of the book of Revelation is that God has pulled back the curtain so he can see something from him. Now I felt about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I felt God speak to me that he's got something to say to me and to us as a church through this book. And so we're going to be looking in the following weeks, we're going to be looking at some of the main things in this book. We're going to look at some of the things that I believe God wants to say to us through this book. Although it was written 2,000 years ago, well, it's a living book, it's a fresh book, it's a book that speaks today. And I believe God wants to speak to us through the book of Revelation. And so we're going to be looking at some of the main things in it in the coming weeks. Next reason to look at this book of Revelation is it's a revelation about God. Back in Revelation 1 verse 1, it says the book is titled The Revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation, it's the unveiling of Jesus. He is the central character. So from beginning to end, the book of Revelation is about the person of Jesus. And so one of another reasons for us to look at it is that we could see. John saw something. God gave John, there was he on this prison island, this rocky, bleak outcrop in the Aegean. There he was, and suddenly God drew back the spiritual curtain and he saw Jesus. More than the signs and the symbols and the pictures and all the things that are in the prophecies that are in the book of Revelation, what he did was the first thing, the most captivating thing, and the person which is throughout the book of Revelation is he saw Jesus. And he saw Jesus in his majesty and his glory and his splendor as he is now on his throne. He saw a man in heaven. When Jesus was raised, we've been singing early on, when Jesus was raised from the dead, he was raised a man. Jesus was raised as a man from the dead and he's seated now in heavenly places. And John got a glimpse in heaven. It was as though the curtain of heaven drew back and John saw straight into heaven. He saw the place where he was heading and he saw the place where we are going. He saw it. He glimpsed it. It was so real. It was so real, he fell at his feet. Other prisoners must have thought, what's happened to John? As there he was, just suddenly on his face on the ground. As suddenly the reality, this passing world was just ripped, just rent in two, and he saw right through to eternity. And so the value of looking at Revelation is that we could see Jesus. Is that we could see Jesus as he is. That we could see where we're going. That we could see this is the place. We've only got days, maybe, months, maybe, years. The best shot is we've got years, maybe decades. But one day, either we die or Jesus comes back, but we're going to that place. We're going to the place described in Revelation. And so that's why I want us to look at this book of Revelation. Next reason is it describes the end times. The things that are shortly going to happen, it says in the book of Revelation. These things are shortly. Now, as far as God's timing is concerned, it says that with God, a day is like 1,000 years. A day is like 1,000 years, or a watch in the night. A watch in the night was 3 hours. So to God, 3 hours are the same as 1,000 years. When God's, because God's time is perfect. God knows the exact right time. And we're going to look in a minute at why things are holding back. But the thing is that it's something which is imminent. Anytime we're ready to go. I love the analogy of the airport. The airport, there'll be plenty of people sat in airport departure lounges across the world, certainly across Europe. Maybe, and I think our friend Mark may even be sat in Canada at his airport waiting to come back. As they're sat there waiting, and they're waiting, and all they're waiting for is that announcement to come over a tannoy like that. And that, yes, the plane's now ready for boarding, but they're there ready to go. And in a sense, this life, we're here ready to go. We're here. I've got my suitcase packed and I'm ready for heaven, because that's what it's all about. It's all about heaven. That's going to last eternity. This is just but a few short years. And so this book's about the end times. And so it's very important for us to realize that and to see that. Next reason why it's important to look at this book is I believe it stirs us about the importance of communicating these things to those who aren't Christians. As you read through the book of Revelation, we see these things are true and pressing and real. And there's a destiny beyond this life. There's a Danish philosopher, my pronunciation is not very good, it's Kierkegaard, that's his name. Anyway, he describes a parable of a theatre. And it describes this theatre where there's a variety show going on, and every act is better than the last. And so the audience are loving it, and they're clapping and they're cheering. The first show comes on, the first act comes on, they love it, they lap it up. The next one comes on, they're just cheering, they're really getting into it. And then suddenly, the manager comes forward. And he apologises for the interruption, but he says to the theatre goers, "Listen, the theatre's on fire." He says, "Please would you leave in an orderly fashion by the exits." The audience thinks this is the most amusing turn of the evening, and their response is to cheer thunderously. The manager again implores them to leave the burning building, and again he's applauded thunderously. At last he can do no more. The fire raced through the whole building and the fun-loving audience with it. And this philosopher felt that it was a parable of the age that we live in. He said this, he says, "Our age will go down in fiery destruction to the applause of a crowded house of cheering spectators." See, people who aren't Christians don't realise, looking to be entertained, what's next, what could be the next thing that can entertain us. They don't realise that in fact there's a fire coming. And the horrors that await those who reject God, who don't want God, that are described in Revelation, are like this terrible fire that the philosopher described. Modern man doesn't believe that a fire is coming for them, just as the audience in that parable didn't believe there was a fire in the theatre. And I believe the book of Revelation stirs our hearts to say, this is real. How can I find means to bring the good news to those who are around me that don't know Jesus? Another reason to read the book of Revelation is that it's a book of encouragement. It's actually a book to encourage us. A number of years ago, I was on the train. I was travelling to York, from London to York. And as I was travelling, I got on the train and I noticed a very distinguished figure on the train with me. It was the Archbishop Desmond Tutu from South Africa. And I got on the train and he was in there in all his Archbishop's regalia. And it was very obvious. I'd seen him on TV. So I mean, recognised him instantly, and he had an entourage around him. As I got on the train, you know, you see someone famous, you kind of think you want to go and say something to them. But I thought, obviously he didn't know me from, you know, who am I? So I just that's a famous person, and sort of sat down in awe of this man. The thing about it that I wanted to tell you was that he had a phrase that he used. He, as you know, he fought against apartheid in South Africa for many, many years. many decades. And he had this saying he used to say. He used to say to his followers, to those who were with him, he said, "Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. I've read the end of the book. We win." And he was talking to us about the Bible. That even though it's tough, even though it's hard, even though they went through a lot of hardship, actually saying, don't give up in this struggle. Don't get discouraged, because he knows the end of the story. He'd read Revelation and he saw there that we win. Perhaps it's more accurate to say God wins, and we're on God's side, the winning side. So we shouldn't get discouraged. But the book of Revelation, I believe, is one of the most encouraging books of the New Testament, because we see in Revelation how God is in control. We see, although there's a powerful devil with a great influence in this world, God is sovereign, he's ruling, and his rule will extend over all. The book of Revelation is what God has decided he's going to do, and no one can stop him. And so for us, it's a tremendous encouragement, because we know the end of the story. We've read the end of the book. See, in Revelation, John talks about the ultimate defeat of evil and the glorious return and reign of Jesus Christ. It talks about a time when God will dwell with men and women. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. For the old order of things, the things under sin, will pass away. There'll be a new order of things where God's kingdom rules and reigns over all. And we've got a part to play in this end game of world history. I like chess. I like playing chess. Not very good, but I like playing chess. And in chess, you've got the opening moves, you've got the mid game, and then you've got the end game. And the end game is where you're just battling out with your few pawns you've got left and your king, just trying to win. Hopefully not getting a stalemate. You're trying to get to this final thing, the end game. And the thing about Revelation, it describes the end game. It describes what's happening as the world moves towards these final moments. In this world, it's not game over yet. But unlike a game of chess, we are certain of the outcome. We even know the final moves because they've been written in Scripture. And it's great encouragement for us that in a world that's so uncertain, in a world that's so changing, in a world that's so fragile, in a world where nobody knows what's going to happen, in a world where there's so much hopelessness, the book of Revelation is such an encouragement. We've been looking at the last book written in the New Testament. The first book that was written by the Apostle Paul was the book 1 Thessalonians. And in it, he says the same thing. In 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 15, listen to what Paul says. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord. So he's talking about this time when Jesus comes back again. We will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. He talks about death as though you fall asleep. That's the picture he's using there of death. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven. This is what we're waiting for. This is the expectation. This is the next thing. So the Lord coming down from heaven with a loud cry, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we'll be with the Lord forever. Verse 18, therefore encourage one another with these words. These end time things are meant to be encouraging. The book of Revelation is intended to be an encouragement, because it's the prophecy, it's what's going to happen. In such an uncertain time where people haven't a clue, we've got the privilege, God has revealed, God has drawn the curtain back that we would know. And therefore we can be secure. We can live day by day with a sense that whatever happens, whatever bad news, you turn on the box and it's bad news. Whatever the bad news is, we know that there's a certain, there's a sure, God has his purposes, God has his plans, and they're going to be worked out. Great encouragement. And the last reason to read this book, I believe, is it's important to fix our eyes, not down here, but that our eyes are fixed up there in heaven. And the book of Revelation lifts us. The book of Revelation causes our focus to change from the material to the spiritual. The book of Revelation forces our gaze to lift up and to see Jesus. It forces us. It was given to keep our minds and hearts fixed on the unseen spiritual realities. If I'm enjoying the temporal things of this world too much, I'm going to find the message of Revelation uncomfortable and unsettling. If I'm hanging on to the things of this world too much, as I read the book of Revelation, it's going to make me unsettled and uncomfortable because I'm going to love the things that are around too much. And so I believe as we're looking at the book of Revelation, we're asking God, God, would you help my gaze to move from the things around to the eternal things that really matter? God, would my focus, what come into focus would be the eternal realities. God, would you help me to see the things that really matter, the things that are really important? In Brother Young's book, Heavenly Man, it's about the Chinese house church, he wrote there in that book that the Chinese house church values the book of Revelation greatly because it's helped them so much to endure a time of great persecution. And it's generally true when the church is comfortable, it's not interested in the book of Revelation because Christians are enjoying this world far too much to think about the next. In time of hardship, the church is much more interested in the book of Revelation because it's a book of hope and it's a book about the victory of God. Throughout church history, Christians that are going through persecution and testing times have found the book of Revelation to be the most relevant and encouraging and helpful to their struggles. I believe God wants to lay on our heart this book, that we would be prepared for all that's going to happen in the coming years and months, that God would teach us and help us, give us a clarity of spiritual things. I want to ask us today, what are you looking forward to? Maybe I'm looking forward to a holiday in the summer. The sun's coming. Oh, yeah, I really fancy, you know. Maybe I'll go to a Greek, maybe I'll go to Patmos and enjoy the sun. I don't know. Maybe looking forward to a weekend, a special weekend, and going away, something special. Maybe even this week I'm going out to see a show, going out to the movies or something. The emphasis in the New Testament, again and again, it comes back, be ready, be alert, be prepared, because Jesus is coming back, and all this around, like this show that I described, this parable that the philosopher described, that what can seem like a show, one thing, entertainment arrives, one thing after another. Actually, there's a fire raging. It's burning and it's coming soon. And it's important for us to be prepared. In the gospel, so many of the parables of Jesus, he told them because he wanted us to grasp the importance of being ready. That I'm there with my suitcase packed. I'm in the departure lounge. That I'm ready to go. God, today I'm ready to go to heaven. If you come today, Jesus, I'm ready. If you come today, Jesus, I've asked you to forgive me for my sins. My bags all packed. My affairs all put into order. I'm ready. I'm ready for you to come. Many of the things occupy us in this world are work, family, friends, even things we enjoy about this life. None of those are bad things. Of course not. But actually, God's word concludes the punchline, the thing to ring in our ears, the last full stop in the Bible actually concludes with an unveiling of what is eternal, what is lasting, and the things that are really, really important. This book of Revelation contains this phrase. Seven times it says this. Seven times the book of Revelation has this phrase. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Seven times. Seven is a significant number in Revelation. It's a number of completeness. And there's something, seven times, if something's repeated, it's a way in Scripture they didn't have underlining. they couldn't put things in bold and italic. There was a repetition, was a way of saying, this is important, this is very important. The same phrase appears again and again and again. If you've got ears to hear, if you're spiritually listening, if you're not just asleep, but if you're spiritually alert, if you're a follower of Jesus and you're listening to the Holy Spirit, listen, because, why? Because the Spirit wants to say something to the churches. And we're the church of God. And so over the coming weeks, we want to look at what the Spirit wants to say to us as his church now. Even though it was written 2,000 years ago, we're going to ask God, what do you want to say to us fresh today? What do you want to say to us as your church here in London? How can we be ready? How can we be effective and fruitful? How can we be doing what you want to do when you return? This week's been an introduction. In the future week, we're going to look at what we believe the Spirit is saying to the church. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that you have unveiled what is hidden. Thank you so much, Lord, you've not left us ignorant. You've not left us spiritually dark and not knowing, but that you finished your revelation of Scripture by pulling back the curtain and showing us the future. Lord, thank you that we're not in that position of being without hope, of being fearful of the future, of wandering around without any clarity about what's going to happen. But God, you have spoken and you have written and you have prophesied. You have said what you're going to do. God, would you help us to have ears to hear? God, would we be a people who are awake and alive and alert to what the Spirit is saying to your church? Holy Spirit, would you do something in our hearts? Even this morning, would you stir us? Even this morning, would you impress on these things? Would you impress on our heart of these things? That, Lord, we would be stirred. That, Lord, you give us understanding as we look at the book of Revelation. That, Lord, you'd open our eyes that it would be a personal and a together corporate revelation. That it would be an unveiling. That maybe for the first time, or maybe to refresh us, we would see the main truths, the things you want us to grasp, the things you want us to be, that are important in this book. God, Holy Spirit, would you give us a passion and a desire to search out the Scriptures, to find you, Lord Jesus, as John found you, as this glorious risen Christ. God, could we do that? Could you give us that vision that you gave John? That we would have nothing to do but to fall at feet in your glory and majesty as you shine upon us. Jesus, would you open our spiritual eyes like you opened the Apostle John's spiritual eyes? God, would you work in my heart? Would you work amongst us? As a church, could we be alert to these things? Could we be alive to these things? Jesus. Jesus. Could the musicians just come back, please? In this revelation, John, all John could do is just fall in worship and love and awe at the sight of Jesus. And so we're going to finish this morning just being before Jesus, focusing on him, looking to him, asking God to open our eyes as we worship him, as we love him. Maybe encourage, if you get the chance over these next weeks, to look through the book of Revelation, start to read it. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you through it. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Let's stand. If you're able to, if you feel you'd like to, why don't you stand with me and let's worship, love Jesus, draw close to him, give ourselves to him.